What we're going to be talking about is two words, lined up. Lined up. For a mechanic, one of the hardest things to do is to get the bolt holes lined up on whatever it is that you're trying to replace on the engine or whatever. How many of you, you guys have ever replaced parts on your vehicle and you're trying to hold it in position and get that first bolt in there and you can't?
Yeah.
That's one of the hardest things about being a mechanic. They use flashlights and pry bars and all kinds of things to try to get it in place so that those holes line up. Until the holes line up, you're not going to get a bolt through there and get it tightened up and all. For an event coordinator, it's the same problem. If you've ever tried to set something up, some big day, whether it be a wedding or even just a meal, a big meal like here at the church, trying to get people lined up to do what needs to be done at the right time is not easy.
That's right.
Even for me, you know, we do tree work, and sometimes we cut little trees down like this or trim these overgrown hedges. It's kind of minor stuff. And then sometimes we cut trees this big around down, and it requires a lot more people, a lot more, sometimes a crane and this, that, and the other. And trying to get all that lined up. All it takes is for one major person that should be there that isn't, that really throws a wrench in the works. Right?
Yes, sir.
So imagine what difficulty it is for God to get us lined up with His will. Remember, we have a free will to do what we want.
Yeah.
That's how He made us.
Yes, sir.
And right here in Jonah chapter 1, we're going to read the first three verses. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. Open our eyes, open our hearts to receive what you have for us. And Father, this is important, or else you wouldn't have given it to us. So Father, I pray that you would help me to say what I should. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to accurately deliver your message to your people.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, that you would change us.
Yes, please.
Help us to line up with your will.
Yes.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Here, God had a plan to bring Nineveh back to himself. Nineveh was, as the Bible puts it, a great city. That means it was a large city. It was had a lot of people there. A lot of industry going on there, a lot of wealth in that city. And God's plan was to bring them back. When you and I look at that, it would be kind of like saying, all right, we're going to bring New York under revival. That's an impossibility with us. It's not with God.
Right, man. Amen.
It's amazing, and it's really a miracle how this actually all happened. And I'm sure you've read the story. You know all about it. They all repented.
That's right. Praise God.
That was his plan. And Jonah, his part was just go and preach. Mm. That's all you got to do. And he didn't want to do it. He attempts to weasel out of doing what God told him to do. In other words, he falls out of line, not in line.
Right.
So before God can bring Nineveh back, he has to bring Jonah back.
That's so true.
By the way, God's got a plan to bring some people back to himself today that are in your circle.
Mm, that's good.
And before he can bring them back, he may have to bring you back.
Mm.
So that you will just go give them the message.
That's good, Bruce. Amen.
That was Jonah's only job. He wasn't there to convict them. You and I don't convict people.
No.
We try and fail miserably.
Yeah.
But we don't convict people.
No.
All we do is spread the word. We preach the gospel. We point people to Jesus.
Mm.
Then it's up to the Holy Spirit to do his part.
Amen.
He does the convicting.
Yeah.
But the people that are in your circle are not going to get that message if you're out of line.
Mm.
Here's the question. Is God using you to point people to Jesus, or is he just trying to get you back in line at this time so that you will?
Mm.
With Jonah, God had to do something quite drastic. I've never been swallowed by a whale. Don't want to be. But God had to do something quite drastic with Jonah in order to get him back in line.
Yes, sir.
And it worked. He went to Nineveh, delivered the message, and Nineveh repented. Every one of them. It was amazing. The king said, okay, we're in trouble.
Mm.
Almighty God is unhappy with us, and he's fixing to destroy us. We're going to go on a fast. Don't even let your animals eat.
That's right.
He made the animals fast.
Yeah.
And God looked down from heaven, and he saw that. And he said, I'm not going to destroy them.
Praise the Lord.
They got right with God.
That's right.
But Jonah.
Mm.
Jonah remained out of line. You know the story. It ends with him still being angry.
Yeah.
With God because of how it all turned out. There's no record in Scripture that he ever got back in line.
Mm-mm.
I wonder if there were more people that God wanted to bring back to himself through Jonah.
Ooh.
But never did. God's probably used you in the past to point someone to Christ. And you did.
Mm.
He's probably also used you to encourage someone. He's probably used you to be a financial blessing to somebody, I'm sure. But he's not done using you.
That's right.
There's more people.
Amen.
When he's done using you, you'll be headed to heaven.
Amen.
Until then, he's not done. There's somebody else. Possibly even tomorrow.
Amen, brother.
This week.
Yeah.
God wants to make a difference in somebody's life through your effort.
Mm.
But you've got to be in line. If you're not in line, you're not going to hear the Holy Ghost.
Right.
If you're not in line, you're not going to want to skip whatever you are planning to do so that you can talk to that person. You might even say, well, he hadn't used me in a good while. And it may be because you're out of line. We can't be used until we're usable.
Usable, amen.
Remember Peter? Mm-hmm. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. There were times that he even cast out demons. Mm. He was a believer.
Yes.
Then Jesus was arrested. And in Peter's mind, everything just went haywire.
Mm.
He was expecting for Jesus to become the authority of the land. To become king. To eradicate the Roman plan.
Right.
And to reestablish Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was probably going to be part of the authority too, Peter. They asked about that, remember?
Yeah.
But it didn't turn out that way. Now Peter's denied Jesus vehemently. He's out fishing. I don't know how many days it was from that day that he denied Jesus until Jesus showed back up on the shore when they were out there fishing. I don't know how many days that it was, but I know this. They were some dark days for Peter. Remember what he expected to happen with the Son of God didn't happen. In fact, in his mind, it backfired. Now he don't know what he's supposed to do. So he just went back to doing what he used to do.
Yeah.
Fishing.
Wow.
God had a big plan for Peter to preach to thousands of people and to kick off the church age. That's a big plan. But Peter was out of line. He was fishing. Just reeling in a few fish to eat. Maybe some to sell. No real eternal value. What are you doing right now?
That's good.
What eternal benefit are you having in the life of a person? What eternal benefit did you have in someone last week? The week before? All Peter was doing was existing between the day that he denied Jesus and the day that Jesus came back to that shore. All he was doing was existing.
Yeah. That's right, brother. Amen.
All we're doing in some cases, some eras in our life, is existing. We're not in line. I'm not saying that we're not saved. Peter was saved.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we're out of line. God's not going to use you or me to ignite a new spiritual era like he did Peter. Or to start some great revival. But he might. We don't know.
Right. Amen.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know what God's going to use me for tomorrow.
Right.
I know my plan is go cut a tree down. But there might be somebody in my path.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That needs to hear the gospel or needs to hear that God loves them.
Amen.
There might be somebody in your path.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That after you talk to them, their life will change forever. Yes. And I realize that is not some great revival or a new spiritual era like what Peter started there in the church age. But it'll be everything. It'll be the world to that person.
Amen, brother. Amen.
What we do know is that he cannot use us when we're out of line with his plan. Are you out of line? Is God using you? Look back over the last few days, weeks, months of your life. And I'm not saying that you've got to lead somebody to the Lord every single day. The Apostle Paul didn't even do that.
Right.
But God does give us opportunities.
Yes.
Many times that we never see.
Right.
We don't see him because we're not lined up with his plan.
Yeah.
But God Almighty has a plan for you and I.
Amen.
And it's probably bigger than what we know at this point. With Jonah, I think there was a time, I believe there were people that he should have impacted for eternity's sake.
Yeah.
After Nineveh repented.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And he didn't because he was out of line. He wasn't lined up with God's plan. God created you and I for a purpose. In fact, many different purposes. To point many different people to Jesus. To encourage many different people. To help many different people. Is he doing that through you right now? You say, well, Brother Bruce, I don't really have a lot of dealings with people. You probably have more dealings with people than you think you do.
Right.
Because you still go to the store. I know you
Amen.
Do. I know you do. You still go out there to check the mail. You still go to that place of business or whatever. God showed this to me one time when I was in a dark time. And it was after Camp Tracy closed. I was driving that dumb truck up and down the road I didn't like. I'm just sitting there holding the wheel, and it was dark, and I was on a road that had to be 200 miles long, no street lights, through the Everglades, and I'm thinking, and Jeanette's at home, and I'm sitting here by myself, I'm thinking, this is crazy, what? And I started praying, I said, God, what are you doing with me? I don't have any way to serve you, I don't have any purpose. He says, yes, you do. You encounter people every day. You talk to people face to face. You talk to people on the phone repeatedly throughout the day. Talk to them about me.
Yeah, that's good.
Encourage them. Be a blessing to them. I thought, okay, that's true. I didn't recognize that, probably because I was out of line. You're going to miss an opportunity too if you're out of line. All of a sudden, I started seeing people that needed Jesus or needed encouragement.
Yes, sir.
I'll never forget the day that one guy looked like a big old sumo wrestler driving a big old front end loader with these long forks that had to be 16 foot long, and he come out there at the used car or the junkyard. He was supposed to put one of those cars on my trailer. He said, "What do you need?" I wanted to say nothing. But I handed him my paper. I said, "This is what I need right here." I said, "But I wanted to tell you something." He said, "What?" I said, "I wanted to tell you that I appreciate you." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because you work for a living and I don't have to pay your way." And he kind of cracked a little smile. He said, "It's what I'm supposed to do, ain't it?" I said, "Yes, sir, it is. But you chose to do it, and a lot of people haven't. So I'm thankful for you." He said, "Well, I appreciate that." He drove off and went and got my vehicle, come and brought it back. And then every time I went back to that same place, he was wanting to get over there to help me.
Isn't that something?
And he did it with a smile. I'd never seen him smile before that day.
Yeah.
I was an encouragement to him.
Amen.
And I believe that it was because God showed me that, and I was paying attention at that time.
Yeah.
God puts people in your path.
Yes, sir.
To encourage, to share Jesus with, to hand a tract to, to forgive, or just to be long-suffering to them.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know, sometimes that waitress is having a hard day, which is why you're getting bad service.
Yeah.
So instead of talking to the manager about her or giving her some cheap little tip, you might need to give her a really big tip and tell her that you appreciate what she's doing.
Mm.
You might pull her back out of that bog she's in.
Amen.
But God puts these people in our path, and when we're out of line, we don't see them.
Mm. Lord, help us.
Allow God to bring you back in line so that you can perform His will in your life. It'll make a difference in someone else's if you'll do that. Let's pray.
Mm.
Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for showing me the importance of staying in line with you. There's no way that I'll know what you expect when I'm out of line. Father, it's clear that I need to be in line. And I pray that you help me to be obedient, to do your will. Help me to forsake sin in my life so that I stay close to you and hear your voice. Thank you, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 273.